Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Good evening, dear saints. I'm hoping you've had a lovely day. All right. I hope you had a lovely day and your week is coming well. I'm trusting that you're ready again for day three, navigating your Bible, day three. We're here again. And I'm trusting God that we will pay a lot of attention to the words that will come out today, and it will help shape on our Christian journey, our lives, and help us to, you know, become much more fervent in the things of God as we grow as believers. So as much as possible, as always, I'll say avoid all forms of distractions. Let's make the best of the best, the best of the next, you know, few minutes, and let's see how far we can come. Let's just go into the Word this evening, and let us agree in prayer. Let us go into the Word, let us agree in prayer. Assuming as well that everything is fine and we are all good. Let's go into the Word, let's go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I would declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that's where we usually start from all the days of the Navigating Your Bible series. 2 Timothy, beautiful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse 16. Verse 15. It took us about an hour to get between verse 17 and chapter 4, verse 1 yesterday. But let's see how we can go again today. All right. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, and that from a child, young Christian, young believer, set out, from when you set out as a believer in the faith, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Right? Make you wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at what it says next. It now says, and all scriptures is given by inspiration. That means the scriptures are inspired by God. It's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness, right? That the man of God may be perfect. So the scriptures are to build us. The scriptures are profitable for doctrine. That means they're advantageous. The word they're profitable means advantageous, right? Advantageous for doctrine. That word their doctrine is teaching, for reproof. You know, that's the word similar to what is used in Hebrews chapter 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. That's the same word there, right? You know, it says the for correction, right? That word there means to rectify, to straighten up, to realign, to bring back on course or to a path, right? He says, for instruction in righteousness, for instruction in righteousness, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it means that ideally, when we want to look through our Christian faith and our Christian journey, the scriptures would be the fundamental material, or you can say it very differently. The scriptures will be the manual that is required. Are we together? The scriptures will be the manual required for the believer to make the best or to take advantage of regarding the matter of doctrine, regarding the matters of doctrine, regarding the matters of wanting to get assurance and also correcting. So the word of God is going to be used to, you know, give us doctrine. Doctrinal biases will be influenced by the written word. All right. Then we would have assurance gotten from the written word. Excuse me. Then we would have, you know, correction. That's rectification. Rectification of on courses where it seems to, where we might have seemed or we seem to have deviated. You get the point now, right? So scriptures are given by inspiration of God, right? Now, today, what scriptures will be to us, to you and I, will be the writings of Genesis all through to the book of Revelation, right? When Paul will write this to Timothy, what scriptures will mean to Timothy will be Genesis to Malachi. Are we together, right? Because Timothy is part of the epistles that were written after the resurrection. Are we together, right? And this is just the letter that Paul is writing after the resurrection, years after the resurrection, to his spiritual son, Timothy. So by extension, we can see a lot we can learn. We can take a lot of, there are lots of things we need to take out of it to be able to learn, to ensure that we have a firm grasp and a firm understanding on very fundamental things about the faith, about what we stand for, about what we believe, right? So Paul will say scriptures are given by inspiration of God. So you must also see as well, right, that so when Paul will make an argument for scriptures being given by inspiration of God, you must also understand that those words being inspired by God will be what will, by extension, inspire the writers, the authors, the speakers that we have between Genesis all through, between Matthew all through to Revelation. Are we together, right? Their background, are we together? Right, you know, we've done a lot of those background foreground conversations, the foreground, the background of Exodus, the foreground of Genesis, the background of Genesis, you know, the writings of the prophets, you know, the writings of Moses, what people call the Pentateuch, what we call the law of Moses, the five books of Moses, how they are background to other scriptures, whereby other prophets and, you know, other prophets, apostles, teachers, ministers will always have Moses as their background and quote from them and read from them, and also read from Moses rather, and also get themselves to conclude just like just as is expected. So it means today, if we stay with Genesis to Malachi, right, we should be able to have in that the material or the meal that is required for every believer to grow, because every believer, including Jesus, so every man that was, so every existence of humanity from Matthew's gospel up until Revelation, involved in the writings of the books, right, involved in the activities in the books, all they had as their scriptures will be the writings of the prophets. Altogether, the writings of the prophet, it will be the writings of the prophet, it will be the writings of Moses, right? So all that Paul read to grow spiritually was fundamentally the writings of the prophet, or the writings of Moses and the prophet, or you can say the writings of Moses, excuse me, the Psalms and the prophets. So you can say the writings of the Old Testament books. Praise God forevermore. So the Bible, as it were, or their Bible in their word will not be Genesis to Revelation, because, you see, Jesus didn't have the material to be able to quote Revelation. Yeah, Paul did not have the material to be able to quote, or the other books. Same thing with Peter and the likes. Praise God forevermore. So the writings of the prophets, the writings of the scriptures will be fundamental for what they stand for, what they stood for. It means by extension for us as believers, the writings of the prophets, the writings of the Psalms, the writings of Moses, as well as the writings of the apostles and disciples of Jesus, will be the foundation for what we stand for today, right? Today, I want to pay a little attention to something that's very important for the Christian faith, and that's the concept of praying. Okay, look at Matthew's Gospel 26. Are you in Matthew's Gospel 26? Look at verse 41. Matthew 26, 41. The Bible says, Jesus is teaching here, he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Are we together? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Numbers 6:42, it says, "He went away again the second time, and he prayed again, saying, O my Father, if this cup may well pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Are we together? Right? Now, one of the things you see here is that Jesus lived the life of prayer. Are we together? If you backtrack to verse 36, Verse 34. Jesus said unto him, look at 33. Peter answered, look at 32. Look at 31. "Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am raised again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Look at 34. It says, "Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times, thrice." 35 now says, "Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also saith all the disciples." Now 36 now says, "Then come Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, right? And said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Right, go and pray yonder. That word there just really speaks about the act of wanting to make supplication. Right, Yeah, the phrase is there. So, and he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So, 38 now says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Now, if you look at verse 14, now it says, he came unto the disciples and found them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Now, he now says, watch and pray. So the disciples lived with Jesus. Disciples, they watched him, you know, do great and mighty miraculous miracles. Disciples watched him healing the sick. Disciples watched him raising the dead. The disciples watched him commanding and instructing the crowd, the multitude, right? You could tell that they had the front row seat in everything that Jesus was doing. You could tell that they saw what he did, what God was using him to do. Yet, right, they were asking a very important question in the midst of all of that. So the question they were asking, or what the question they were not asking, was teach us how to preach or teach us how to heal. All together, right? What was the question? Look at it again, right? He says, and he took Peter and went a little further and fell his face. And he said unto them, look back at to where... Right, if you look back in verse 40, verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, right? He went a little further and he prayed. If you look at Luke, the way Luke records a narrative like this in Luke, look at Luke chapter 11. That's where I was supposed to go to first. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that means he took a break or he was on a break, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us how to pray. So they saw Jesus. They saw Jesus do all manners of things. They saw Jesus do all manners of things. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, command the crowd, instruct the crowd, right? Get people delivered from oppression. And yet, they never said, teach us how to heal. They never said, teach us how to preach. They never said, teach us how to raise the dead. What they said was, teach us how to pray. So it means that the way Jesus communicated prayer in his ministry, it was clear and evident that the disciples understood that everything Jesus did publicly flowed from the private place of prayer. All together, right? And that's why they could ask. He says, Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. So they did not just pay a lot of attention to the fruits, but they paid a lot of attention to the seed. All together, to the source. They saw the source, right? So it means that the public ministry of Jesus had a private source, right? And it was the source, the place of prayer. So Jesus, God in the flesh, all together, when we saw God in the flesh, he took our time to pray. So the foundation for the ministerial life of Jesus was the world, the estate, the discipline of prayer. It was like the engine of prayer. All together, right? So you will find out something very important that, you see, as a Christian, prayer is something you must put as a primary act of discipline or art of discipline in your journey, in your life. Altogether, right? Yeah, it's something you must ensure that you pay a lot of attention to, right? Yeah, Christianity without prayer, right, is what some will call, or you can refer to as, just mere religion. Are we together, right? A lot of us will try to associate ourselves or want to associate ourselves with the result of the place of prayer. Remember, I was saying something yesterday, right? Yeah, yeah. The person who uses God uses people. It's a blessing for people to be, you know, blessed by different platforms and everything. But check it very well. Yeah, the prayer life of the person that God will use to become a minister that will be globally, that will impact lives on a very large scale. You can say global scale. Yeah, not that global is too big. On a last scale, let's just stay there. Are we together? Yeah, because you know, sometimes, yeah, we use a lot of words carelessly. Are we together? Right? Global impact means that you're impacting the entire world. Are we together? You know what I said on Monday, right? There is not one person who is sent to impact the entire world. Not one person. Yeah. So sometimes when we start having some people talk about global impact, yeah, what they're actually referring to a very large extent is the group of people within the kind of skin color, ethnicity, or group of people or within the place of origin that come from, that are distributed around the world and are being connected to. Yeah, you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So that's to further emphasize what I was saying 2 days ago, right? So, but here's the point. No matter how well you want to say it still remains that God uses those men. Either using them for the people who look like them, who don't look like them. God is using men. And I will tell you for free, that's the fruit that you can see. But there is a source behind the scene. Now, even though they know that it's by the grace of God, but the truth remains that there's a discipline, an art of discipline, an art of devotion that they are giving to behind the scene that people will not see publicly. Altogether. And that's the same thing for the life and ministry of Jesus. Jesus, in the real sense, will be given to a private life. And that's, think about it, for them to have asked, excuse me, for them to have asked teachers to pray, it means they saw something about the prayer life of Jesus, and they saw that it was connected to the public life, public ministerial life of Jesus. Altogether. So when you get yourself involved with ministerial activities and you don't get yourself into prayer, right? All you are doing is just activities. Are we together? You hear what I said? When you involve yourself in ministerial activities and you don't give yourself to prayer activities, all you are doing is just activities. You get the point, right? So prayer is the source, the backbone, the root behind the things that we are becoming, and we will be. You get what I'm trying to say? Altogether, when you have a life, you live a life without prayer, you are living a life of self-dependence. Now, mind you, I mean, if you listen to me, you've been around in church for a while, you know that the kind of prayer I'm talking about is not the selfish kind of prayer. Yesterday, we tackled the mindset, the concept of materialism. What is materialism? Yeah, when you think you want to serve God because of, you are serving God because of your needs. Altogether. And that's the same thing that has spoiled a lot of people to some kinds of prayer. Altogether, more often than not, we find lots of believers giving themselves voraciously to prayer because of the needs they want to serve or they want to meet. So when you live your life without prayer, you are trying to prove to God that you can be self-dependent. And that's one of the most dangerous places you can be in as a believer, right? When you live your life as though you don't need God. Altogether. So when you hear or say things like Christianity without prayer is mere religion, we hear or say things like ministerial activities without prayer activity is just activities, that should help program your mind with the right posture to start doing the right things. Altogether. So prayer is not an add-on. Altogether. Prayer is the main deal. Yeah, you know, you've heard me say this over time, right? And you hear me say things like, a statement like, you know, God would rather use a man of prayer than a man of the word. But a man of the word ought to know that he ought to be a man of prayer. Are we together? Right? So, you must cease from seeing prayer as the last thing. A lot of times, there are times when sometimes because of the kind of things maybe some of us do, we're involved in a lot of strategic planning, we're involved in a lot of planning and assembling, program management, data analysis and everything. We usually get to our drawing board and try to develop a plan before we now add prayer and pray concerning the plan. No. Are we together? There's a planning way, there's a prayer way, particularly on ministerial matters, right? It ought to be fulfilled through the wings of prayer. So we don't see prayer as a religious duty or, you know, a box to check or a quota to meet. Are we together, right? Or a ritual that you have to perform. Nope. Prayer is something that it ought to be a lifestyle. Yeah, remember we did a series in 2021. I think it's called Prayer, the Lifestyle of the Believer, or Prayer, a Lifestyle. Are we together, right? So prayer ought to be the lifestyle of the believer. Are we together, right? So and prayer must not be seen as that crisis hotline. You know what crisis hotline is? 999, right? When you feel like life is getting so difficult, what do? You call on God. No, right? Prayer is something you do when life is going smoothly, when life is going difficult or getting difficult. Are we together, right? If it is when life starts getting difficult and you are beginning to prepare and build a prayer life, it just might be running too late. But thank God for God's grace, like I would always say. Are we together, right? Yeah. So prayer must be a lifestyle that you develop over time. Are we together, right? Yeah. You must not see prayer as that crisis hotline because it's dangerous for you. Are we together, right? It's dangerous for you. So, you know how in the hospital you have the general practitioner, you have the emergency wing, you know, you have family doctor, you understand what I'm trying to say, right? The believer is not meant to contact God or to have contact with God through the emergency route primarily. No, it's first GP. Are we together, right? You go to the general practitioner. You get the point. Then, when it's now required specialization, you are now referred. You are now referred to who? To the emergency ward or the surgical ward and the likes, right? There should be a daily consistent relationship and fellowship with the general practitioner part or ward. So GP, general practitioner, just really means can I call it day-to-day consultants or doctors, all together, right? So we'll call them GP in the United Kingdom, right? So it's just like if someone says they have a headache, the first person they'll ask you to go to is GP. In fact, after a surgery, more often than not, they will refer you to the GP, general practice, for updates, for checkups, and for some of those surgeries like that. So basically, it's just that consultation session you can have with a doctor, right? You see that relationship, that's some, whilst obviously as a human, you don't want to go to the GP every day. But I'm saying don't treat prayer as that which you attend to only when there is an emergency. And sometimes, more often than not, people will only go to emergency when there's really an emergency. So don't treat prayer as the emergency ward you run into when there's fire on the mountain. Altogether, right? Yeah. You remember Jeremiah, we said this over time, Jeremiah 33. He will say, call upon me or call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which ye do not know. Right? So God is saying, call unto me, right? Call unto me, eventually I will show you. So the emphasis is on relationship, connection, fellowship, then you will see. Altogether, right? So prayer ought to be seen as an interaction, communication between the Father and His children, between His Father and His children, between God and the saint, between God and the believer. Altogether, right? So what are the reasons why people struggle with prayer as believers? Number one, altogether. Yeah? Why are we looking at the reasons why people struggle? Because the truth is that if we can understand this, it will be easy to break down, or we're able to, it will be easy to disseminate or to dismantle. That's what I'm looking for. Altogether. Now, why many believers struggle with the practice, with the culture of prayer? Number one, wrong motivation. Altogether, wrong motivation. So wrong motivation will be one of the major reasons why believers struggle with their prayer life. Yeah? What's wrong motivation? Yeah? What is motivating you to pray? Is it your needs? Is it when there is fire on the mountain? Is it when there is trouble, when there is fear, you start building a prayer life, right? So if you're that kind of person who prays only when there's trouble, right? Yeah, you applied for a job, right? And because you want to get a job, you get into a 7 days prayer and fasting. Once you get the job, the next time you pray is 3 years after, or the next time you pray the way you prayed is 3 years after, when you think you've grown in that role and you've become comfortable in that role, you want to what? Stretch yourself. What do? You apply for another role again, you do 7 days prayer and fasting. What kind of prayer life is that? That's a what? A self-centered prayer life. Are we together? Yeah? That's a self-centered prayer life. When life seems to be going as you plan or as you wish or as you would imagine, what happens? God doesn't hear from you again. Are we together? Right? When things break again, what do you do again? You suddenly generate a fasting program in your ministry. Suddenly generate a fasting program in your life. Suddenly generate a fasting program in your family. Right? Yeah? But a relationship that only activates in crisis is not a relationship. Please note that a relationship that only activates during the crisis is not a relationship. Yeah. How many of you know those friends or have those friends? Yeah. You can lift your hands, right? You have those friends who only come to you, and when you see their call, you know there's trouble. Are we together? Yeah. If you don't, I do. Are we together? Right. If you don't, I do. And I know you do. Are we together? There are people who, once you see their number, you know that there is fire on the mountain. There is trouble. You know, I was telling you all about someone who I had to caution not to call me again. When almost consistently 2, 3, 4 times, anytime I get that call, is, have you heard that this person is not feeling fine? Have you heard this person is dead? Have you heard, you know, that kind of thing. You need to know those kind of people and, you know, shut them out of your lives. Are we together, right? What do I mean by shut them out of your lives? You ensure you draw your boundaries. Are we together? And like I said yesterday, you see, maturity in the real sense, right, will ensure that you are, see, boldness in the real sense includes you being able to put a man or a woman, regardless of who they are, where they need to be, as long as what they are doing is tampering and hampering your journey in your faith. Do you get what I just said? That's part of boldness. That's kind of boldness that the believer has to exhibit altogether. Yeah, you respectfully, humbly. Yeah, and I understand it's not the easiest of things for so many people, right? I remember who I was having a conversation with someone very recently, right? And that, I think I remember. Yeah, I'll just skip that, right? But one of the major things we're just talking about is that, well, if things are getting out of hands and you think you are losing your Christian journey, Christian faith, you must be bold enough to make it very clear that on this matter, please, can we stop talking about this matter this way? You know, like I gave an instruction and an admonition to a family yesterday, around 2 days ago, right, about the relationship that is making them dwindle into unbelief. They don't know that, they don't know that that's what they are doing. Altogether, yeah, it's maturity, yeah, it's boldness, yeah, altogether, it's boldness, yeah. One of the things I learned to do very early in life was that when people bring certain matters, certain conversations, certain thoughts to me and everything, you know, the first thing I always will ask, can you say this in front of the person you are talking to, right? Can you have this conversation in front of the person? If we call that person right now, or if you hear a little, you say, no, I'm going to call this person right now. I can't believe that this was happening. What will you see more often than not? Yeah? No, please, you see? And that should tell you that you are the one that is the victim to be contaminated. Are we together? You know what I'm trying to say? So if you have that kind of, I'm trying to use the human experience to show you what we do to God. Are we together? Right? Only when there's an issue, someone reaches out to you, you get a point like, what is happening with this person? And that's the way a lot of us treat our Christian journey, our Christian life, our prayer life. Once you see their phone number, once God sees you dialing his line, God says, what has happened again there? That's a joke, right? You get it, right? But behind the scene it's not just a joke. Praise God forevermore. So you find yourself in a position where you are only reaching out to God when there's a problem. Altogether, hey God, I'm looking for a job. God, please get me a job. You get the job. What happened? You stop praying. Altogether, right? Until it's time again, Lord, if you can just heal me from this sickness, I will serve with all my heart. You get healed again, you don't serve God with all your heart. You don't need to get to a place of sickness before you try to assure God that you serve him with all your heart. You get the point, right? So prayer must be the practice of the believer, a lifestyle of the believer, that the believer needs to develop their calendar around your prayer life. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Yeah? Very, very important, right? Very, 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 very important. So prayer must not be done from a place of wrong motivation. Like I said, the relationship or any relationship that is only activated in crisis is not a relationship. It's a transaction. You get the point? It's not a relationship. It's a transaction, right? It's not a relationship. It's a transaction. It's not a relationship. It's a transaction. So you don't treat prayer as a transaction. God, give me. God, give me. God, give me. You get the job, you got it. Yeah? Or imagine, yeah? You are in university. What happens? Lord, if you can just allow me to just finish this grade with peace of mind. I don't even need the first class. I just want to finish with peace of mind. Yeah? I will serve with all my heart, okay? You get it? You've left the school, you get into NYC, you meet interesting friends, your life starts going south. What happens? Blah, 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 blah. You realize it's time for NYC to be over. You realize there's no money again in your pocket. You realize, NYC is the name given to the service here that, you know, people had to make for a year in Nigeria, right? So imagine you now finish NYC. NYC is about to finish. Lord, which job will I get? Lord, please give, if you just give me a job, I will make sure I report to church every Monday to Friday evening. Now we're together, right? You get that again, move on. What's next? As I'm going to this office like that, I'm feeling very lonely. Father, Lord, Jesus, if you can just give me a wife, just a wife. I won't ask you for anything more again. Wife comes into the picture. Wife now comes into the picture. You now start praying, Lord, if you can just open my womb, let me just get the womb of my wife to have a child. I will serve you, serve you, serve you, serve you, serve you. You pray. You realize the child is born. You realize that fuel is expensive. You realize that all the prices of blocks and cement is going high. Lord, this visa I'm applying for, if you can just give it to me, I will make sure I serve you abroad. Are we together? I heard somebody saying that the reason why they reject their visa is God that is working behind the scene, because he knows if they leave the country, their country, they will not serve him again. What a joke. Anyways, so eventually you get a visa. Oh Lord, please can I have my transport money? Oh, my flight ticket. You get a flight ticket. What happened? I don't want to do anyhow job. I want to. Yeah, what are you doing? You don't have a relationship, you're transactional. So it means one day, if you are fortunate to go to Tesco and buy a lottery ticket and win £1 million, what else will you now be praying to God for? Why? Because that £1 million that you have, if you had it when you started your prayer life that was transactional from university, yeah? If you're in a kind of university, there are some degrees you pay for. You know, you can pay for doctorate altogether, right? You can pay for doctorate and you be a doctor before this time next year, yeah? Honorary doctorate, yeah? If you had it, you pay for doctorate from when you're in university. If you had it, you probably maybe not have married the wife you married. Yeah, you probably will not have married the woman you married, probably will not have married the man you married. Yeah, so it means by default your child would have changed. It means that by default you will not be praying the prayer on visa. It means by default you'll not be praying for flight ticket. It means by default you'll not be praying for a job that not be. Yeah, eventually what happens, you are living a life of transaction. Are we together? So the believer ought to have a daily fellowship, daily relationship with God. Now, why are we saying these kind of things? Don't forget where we started from. The scriptures are given to us for inspiration, inspired by God, rather, for what? Profitability in doctrine, in assurance, and in correction. So these things are to be corrected, are to be dismantled in your mind. That's why we talk about it as a church. Number two, one of the reasons why people struggle with building a prayer life is guilt and condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to them or to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are we together, right? Yeah, you know, sometimes the reasons why people don't build a prayer life is, it's just like this is March. You said at the beginning of this year, you said, I'm going to read my Bible from the beginning to the end. First week became busy, second week became busy, third week you lost your job, fourth week you lost your whatever, you lost your contract, fifth week you did this, sixth week. So all three, you forget about the Bible. Now, today is the 25th of March. You now realize pastor is talking about prayer. Say, since I've already started not the year without praying, let me just wait till the new month. Let me just wait till the new year. Yeah, more often than not, yeah, you will not build a practice of discipline by waiting for a fresh start. Altogether, you don't build practice of discipline by waiting for a fresh start. You build a practice of discipline by actually starting. Altogether, right? Yo, so you don't say, "Oh, I haven't prayed in days. Oh Lord, God, my sins are so much. My sins are so much." These are not the kind of things expected. It's unbecoming of a believer. Altogether, eh? I don't feel worthy to pray. I don't feel like God will answer me. You know what the devil does? He listens to those words. It stabilizes those words in your mind. They now become your ideal thoughts, not your reality, your thoughts, which eventually will influence your perspective on your reality. Yeah. So what's the solution? You pray about it. Yeah. You give yourself to the word. You give your attention to the word. You study God's word, then you pray voraciously. Are we together? Yeah, so the solution to guilt about not praying is to what? You start praying. Someone is asking me, I think it was in our series when we did in January, when somebody asked a question in church on the QR code and said, how do you build a prayer life? What if your prayer life? Something like that. That was my answer. Yeah, and I think the question was, if you don't have a prayer life, how do you develop a prayer life? And what did I say? Pray about your prayer life. Are we together, right? Pray about your prayer life. When you're struggling with your prayer life, just pray about it, right? And pray about it until your prayer life changes. You get the point? Are we together, right? So prayer is not something that is assessed. It's not a relationship that is assessed by perfection. Are we together? It's a relationship thing, right? So the door, God always has his door open. You have to ensure that you walk through to have conversations. Are we together, right? So prayer is, should the believer be good? Yes. Should the believer live a good life? Yes. But prayer is not something you do on account of how good you think you are. Are we together, right? Prayer is something you do be on account of how good you know God is. So you need to ensure you get yourself not too good with the too good God in a conversation, in a relationship, in fellowship. Number 3 points, why people struggle with prayer. Number 3 point here is wrong understanding of God. Like I would always say, a man cannot live above his understanding of his creator, of his God. Are we together? When you see God in a certain way, that's what will influence how you communicate, how you relate. And it's natural with even our friendships, our relationships. When we have certain relationships, when we have certain friendships, right, the way we actually find ourselves, the way we find ourselves relating with those relationships, right, is depending a lot of times on how we even see ourselves. Are we together? Or how we see the people who we are relating with. Praise God for ammo. Yeah? So your picture of God, your understanding of God, that's why it's good to get yourself into a local church where the teaching of God's word and the revelation of who God really is from the pages of scriptures to the best of our knowledge is being emphasized. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. So your picture of your God, your understanding of God will shape your expectation, number one. It will shape your approach in prayer, number two. It will also shape your persistence. It will let you understand why you're persistent in the place of prayer, right? Who does prayer help the most? What is the relationship? Who does it help the most? Are we together? Right? If you see God as the one who is always annoyed, if you see God as the one who is always distant, if you see God who is like the one who is always busy, are we together? If you see God as the one who is always angry, right? That picture, that image, that imagination of God will cause you to run away from God rather than run to God. Right? Look at Matthew 7. He who began the good work in him. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 9. It says, or what man is there of you whom if his son should ask for bread, he will give him stone? Or if he asks for fish, he will give him serpent? Look at verse 11. If ye then being evil, the word there evil is the Greek word that you can mean unstable. Evil there does not mean that you have a terrible heart and you want to kill everybody. No. You see, evil as a word will have different meanings in different contexts. Are we together? Right? Someone can say you are such an evil person. And what they mean is that you are such a lovely person. What they mean is that you are such a caring person. What they mean is that you are a terrible person. Are we together? Right? Yeah. You know, there's even one emoji that you have on your phone, right? Evil eyes. Are we together? And it can be used for sarcasm. Are we together? Right? So evil there means unstable. So if ye then being evil, that is unstable, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to or good things to them that ask? Right? We looked at that carefully in Luke chapter 11 to realize that that's what we read earlier on Luke 11 1. Look at Luke 11 again. Yeah? This is when Jesus asked them to teach them how to pray. Are we together? So he now says in verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Ghost? Are we together? So the giving of the Holy Ghost is the context of Luke 7, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. Are we together? So we run to God in prayer. We don't run from God. Are we together? God is a Father who is our King. Are we together? God is a Father who is our King. He is not just our King and not our Father. He is a fatherly King. The kingly father, anyone that floats your boat. All together, right? So what are the three reasons, fundamental reasons we'll look at for this series, why people struggle with building a prayer life? Number one, wrong motivation. Number two, guilt, condemnation. Number three, wrong perceptive or wrong understanding of God. Now, when we look at the prayer life of Jesus, what should he do to us? The prayer life of Jesus should be something that would steer us in the right direction that we should follow. All together, right? Yeah? Praise God forevermore. So, Jesus had the practice of praying and praying consistently. Jesus would say, men ought to pray and pray always. Right? Jesus will see the crowd. Then after seeing the crowd, he will withdraw to the back end and get himself to pray and pray very well. All together, right? Yeah? So, if you look at that same Luke chapter 11, where you are, look at verse, what was the question in verse 1? It says, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, our Father which art in heaven. So prayer begins with an understanding of who God is, not what you want, what you need. It is our Father, and understanding is first important. All together, right? Yeah, our Father who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name, right? What is Jesus teaching there, right? Hallowed means sanctified. Unique is your name, your work. Only you does it. Are we together? He now says, your kingdom is come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day our daily bread. We've taught that over time. You give us this day our daily bread, right? What that really means is you forgive us our sins so that we can forgive our debtors. Altogether, we can forgive our debtors. Altogether, right? So prayer, as it were, as a concept, it comes with an affirmation, a confirmation, a reassurance of who God is, your relationship with God. Altogether, then that now spurs into who you now become, right? Or how you now see yourself, right? Yeah? So prayer, as it were, fundamentally, whilst it might involve a lot of speaking about God, speaking to God, you are the recipient. You receive fundamentally. You get better from the place of prayer because you partook in the activity. Are we together? Praise God forever. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Ephesians 6 verse 8. Look at that. 66 verse. Is it, did I say 8 or 18? 18. It says, praying always with the prayer, with all prayer rather, and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. Are we together? From which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to. Right? That's how important Paul took prayer into his ministry, or took prayer in his ministerial life. Yeah? Who do you think Paul is following? Let me say that differently. Who does Paul resemble? Yeah? So who does Paul resemble? Paul resembled Jesus. So whose prayer life did Jesus or did Paul give you the answer? Which prayer life or whose prayer life did Paul's prayer life resemble? Jesus' prayer life was that which Paul's prayer life resembled. Now the question I have for you today is, who does your prayer life resemble? If your prayer life resembles Paul's prayer life, by extension, it means your prayer life resembles the prayer life of Jesus. The question I have for you is, who does your prayer life resemble? Altogether, who does your prayer life... Now, just take that question. See what Paul says. He says, pray always, always, always. Look at Matthew 26. Go back to Matthew. Look at Matthew 26, look at verse 41. Yeah, and for those of you who have children, please, over the next few weeks into months, right, be very intentional about leaving your children, one, with kitchen-related appliances, and two, particularly with pressing irons, right? Pressing irons, right? Just so that they don't get a scar that they will carry for the rest of their lives. Okay, so please just be very careful. Take that out of reach from them. Take them out of reach from them. Don't let them be alone in rooms that have those kind of appliances, and ensure that you have that look over them, right? Then also take out time for those of you particularly who your children have started interacting with students or with children or with schools in nursery schools. Are we together, right? There's one of you particularly who needs to be very, very close, very, very, very close to their child, very, very close to your child, a family, both of you, as a husband, as a couple, need to be very, very close to your child, right? And ensure that there's an avenue for conversations to be had, are we together, right? And be quick to correct ideologies they are picking up from school, right? This is for those of you particularly who your children are going to the face, or they are at the face right now where they go into school, interact with people, and have those different conversations with people, right? Start having intentional conversations right now. Now, the people I'm thinking, now, the person I'm talking about right now, yeah? Okay, I know who it is. right? But I will give it as a counsel to everyone, right? Don't, and how you, no. Okay, right? Don't say to yourself, oh, well, that's not for me. I already have those conversations. No, take that as an instruction from the Lord. Look at Matthew 26, verse 41. So he says, if you look at what it says, what could you not, verse 40, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, for 2 says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Now, we look to that word there, watch. Now, we say the word there, watch, so simply means, you know, it doesn't mean like what you put in the door of where you have police, or how do you, what do you example, or if you have a guard, or you have a police dog, for instance, you know, a German Shepherd, for instance, that's guarding your house, right, or a Rottweiler, right, and you now say, oh, whilst I pray every night, I must ensure I have my Rottweiler always awake at night to guard me. No, that's not watch and pray there. Watch just really means, you know, to pray. It means stay vigilant while praying, or stay vigilant in the place of prayer. Are we together? That's so what Jesus was asking of them was to stay vigilant. Altogether. And so stay vigilant does not mean observe with your physical eyes for a snake that will come towards where Jesus went to. No, it's stay vigilant by praying. Altogether. So we watch by praying. Altogether. We watch by praying. Now, when we talk about the, you know, we spoke about the things that make people struggle with prayer, wrong motivation, you know, ideologies, wrong understanding and the likes. But there's something very fundamental that you must understand happens when prayer is involved. There's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. Altogether, there's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. There's a battle between the spirit and the flesh, right? Flesh has a lot to do with the nature, not your body. Are we together, right? Flesh has a lot more to do with the nature, with the characteristic, right? With a function, if that flies, then it's not your skin. Are we together, right? So ideally, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit, right? If you look through verse 43, and he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were very heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, excuse me, sleep on down and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sin. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. That's concept of Judas and narrative that led into Judas and everything. Right? So one thing you must always remember, look at verse 41. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the spirit is willing, but what? But the flesh is weak. But the flesh is weak. So which must overrule? So if you give yourself to prayer, right? If you want to pray and eventually you don't pray, who won the battle? The flesh won the battle. If you need to pray and if you want to pray and eventually you pray, who won the battle? The spirit won the battle. If you want to pray and eventually you don't pray, who won the battle? The flesh won the battle. If you want to pray and eventually you get to pray, who wins the battle? The spirit wins the battle. So there is always, how do you know? You know, sometimes, if you find yourself, maybe you wanted to pray all night and you find yourself, you just slept around 1 a.m., right? You wanted to play, wanted to pray from 9 o'clock to 6 a.m. And at 9 o'clock, you started praying with brushes, the first palm, and the cover those, and the chevron, and the mazova. Yeah, you now eventually decided to stand up. You stood up from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. 12 a.m., you now decided to sit down. 12 a.m., 12:20, you now realize you were dozy, you stood up. Altogether, you stood up at 12:20, eventually, you now get yourself to lie down and put your, to kneel down. You now kneel down, put your head on the bed, right? The softness of the bed just picks your pillow. At 1:15 or 1:16, you just say, mrapata sha. And you now pause like that until 5 a.m. You see, what's the first thing you do when you wake up at 5 a.m.? You just say, devil 1, Joshua 0. Are we together? Right? Yeah. You know, if you keep tabs that way, right, it will make sense to you if you do that 7 nights. You realize devil 7. Don't get so naughty and start saying the devil is under my feet. Trample, madam or God, on this matter is devil 7. No. Are we together? Not that I have the victory. I have the, for the victory of the Lord dwells on my inside. For the I am more than conqueror. I'm a victorious man. Yes, victorious man. Yeah, you know we've taught it over time. I will teach it over time. There is the victory of the believer that is finished work. And yes, some believers say, I'm sure those people are. There was a friend of mine that used to say that. Believers, we don't pray for victory. We pray from victory. He said, he has changed his mouth. No. Yeah, you just need a little light to show, sprinkle a little periwinkle. Right on your activity, you realize that you pray for victory on matters. Are we together? Yeah, how can you say we don't pray for victory? We pray from victory to get victory. Yeah, so there's the finished work. You know, I remember one of my friends then, you see, life just needs to sprinkle a little. We're all growing, let's thank God. I know we don't pray rigorously. We just pray prayer of thanksgiving. Yeah, just pray our thanksgiving. We just pray for our thanksgiving, you know, where the pastor just lets the prayer and we just stay. Lord, we thank you for the souls in this nation. Father, we thank you for the souls. And Lord God, Jesus Christ of glory, we thank you, Lord, because you're going to give us the souls. For the souls are in our hands. Let me even ask you a question. If God were to decide who to give souls to, and people are praying like that, another set of people are praying, they are sweating, they are shouting, they are screaming, their room they are in is shaking. Who will God decide to? Okay, let me ask you, who will you rather God, if you were one of the souls that those both parties were praying for, would you rather that God should commit your soul to? The one that will labor for you in the place of prayer, or the one that will do thanksgiving for you in the place of prayer, right? Yeah, you just need a little challenges in life to go through, realize that you pray from victory to victory. Yeah, you know, there's the finished work, there is the ongoing work, there's the ongoing work, there's the unfinished work. It is not finished. Prayer is not a finished work altogether, right? Bible says that Jesus prayed and his sweat were like droplets of blood. Yeah, what was he playing? When somebody says a figure of speech, okay, my dear brother, pray in a way such that when we see you, when we want to write our own Bible translation, we'll say, this brother prayed in a way that his blood, where his sweat was like droplets of blood. Altogether, a man prayed, he put his head between his knee. Altogether, he said, no, that's Old Testament. Okay. Don't forget the main question I asked you earlier on. Who does your prayer life resemble? Who do you resemble on matters around prayer? Altogether, right? I went to a church a while ago, you know, about three plus years ago, right? You know, and I got there and, you know, they said it was time for prayer. So my usual instinct is, oh, probably going to spend time praying and everything. And everybody just sat down, they projected the prayer on the screen, right? And nobody said anything. Everybody kept quiet, right? And they presented the prayer points on all the screen, and the man in front of the screen just, and they were not even looking at the screen, they bowed their heads, all of them looked at the screen, right? And the man in front just, you know, recited the prayer point. After I finished reciting the prayer point, you know, and everybody just lifted their hand and said, amen. I say, You know what I'm trying to say, right? So who does a prayer life resemble? Are you trying to walk your prayer life to resemble your friend's prayer life? Yeah. Are you trying to walk your prayer life to resemble your neighbor's prayer life? Are you trying to walk your prayer life to resemble your uncle's prayer life, your auntie's prayer life, or the prayer life exemplified in the Word? Let me tell you, prayer as a concept, both Old and New Testament, what was exemplified with the emotions of the man involved all through scriptures. Are you with me? Right? Both when there was no tongues, people not speaking in tongues, and both when there was tongues and people, yeah, if you look through scriptures, you will have templates across scriptures to show you that the consistency of prayer involves your emotions or requires your emotions are involved. Altogether. Right? Yeah. So ideally, prayer is something that if you need to discipline yourself to get yourself into. So like I was saying earlier on, right? Day one, you wanted to pray for 30 minutes. 12 minutes into what happened, you start dozing. Before you know it, 3 hours after, you realize it's time for work. Your alarm wakes you up. You start rushing out. Yeah, what do you do? As you are going, I just say, devil 1, Joshua 0. Yeah, if the next night you balance or you say, devil 1, Joshua 0, just make it, no, Joshua 1, devil 1, just make it 1-1. Or you can make it back to 0-0. Yeah, but the moment you keep doing every day, every night you are sleeping, they are looking for you. Are we together? They are looking for you. I didn't say who is looking for you. They are chasing you. They are looking for you. Are we together? So what do you do? Yeah, just to make yourself aware, just realize 3-0. That's mean 4-0, 5-0. That 5-0 means 5 now. At least there should be a number you get to. That threshold is different for different people, I understand. But there should be a number you get to. Yeah, you will misquote scripture and underquote scripture just to make sure that the scripture just says what you want it to say. The violent ticket it by force, even if it's that one you run to. Out together, right? Yeah. So that what happened? You start counseling now. Start counseling now. God is gracious. We understand. But you see, the discipline of prayer. Let me say it differently. There is that which is prayer on its own as an activity, a responsibility of the believer. I want to get that. And it is not a completed work in the resurrection of Jesus. I want to get that, right? The truth remains that the reason why even some people experience the inflow of souls and everything that are perishing is because there are men at strategic locations around the world who are giving their lives, their devotion to prayer. Some people are just on the other end reaping the harvest. You know, sometimes it's easy to think that it is coffee that is making people become born again. You know, sometimes it's easy to think that it's praise team that makes people born again. No, they are men. They are men who are giving their hearts, their commitment, their passion to souls being won. That they are doing that from the place of prayer. There are men who are can. There are men you can. I can tell you, they give themselves to fasting an average of 360 days in a year just for souls to be won. And let me tell you something. The truth is that if they have a church at all, there might not be more than 10 people in the church. What is happening? Yeah, the churches with the coffee. The churches with, and you just think it's your coffee that's attracting. My dear brother, my dear sister, there are people, there are men that God is using, right? Let me say it differently. There are men who are combating from souls with it, from the bondage of the devil, right? In very, very seemingly strange locations. So you become very silly to begin to think that, oh, why is that church growing and they don't have a prayer life? No, you must understand that there are men behind the scene. Think about it. When Jesus was giving himself to prayer, what was he struggling with in life? He was praying for souls. And that's why I always tell you, there are prayers you will pray in this world. There are prayers you will pray in your life that you will not use your eyes to see the results of those prayer points. But one thing I know is that prayer compounds. One thing I know is that prayer gets itself stored into reservoir, goes into the future. Are we together? Prayer is something that you need to do. You can't do the ministry of Jesus without the wings of prayer, without the passion, the devotion of prayer. Blessed are you if you are among those who God is using to labor over souls. Let me tell you very clearly, right? Yeah? The results of churches where you claim they don't have a prayer life, are we together? Right? That result is a result from men who are praying in various areas, in different parts of the world, in strange locations that some you might never even hear their name. And God is just so beautiful that way. Altogether. So if you get yourself to a place where, you know, I was telling a friend of mine who had reached out to me, I was telling me of another friend who was talking about how he doesn't believe in praying again. You know, he doesn't believe in praying again for long, doesn't believe in praying in tongues and all those kind of things. He just gives God thanks. Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Even the Bible teaches prayer with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the addendum, is the added one. I always get thanksgiving is good, thanksgiving is brilliant, but thanksgiving is not all there is to prayer, right? So it means that because you know how the flesh and the spirit, think about it. If prayer was not that important, why is the flesh trying to fight the spirit? Think about it. If prayer was not that important, why is the flesh trying to fight the spirit? Why is the spirit at war with the flesh? All together. Yeah? So the flesh must not overrule the spirit. Yeah, so they said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But the flesh weak. Praise God for Ramo. Let's look through some examples of how they prayed in the early church. Look at Acts. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 13. What happened? Acts 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. Jesus taught them for 40 days back to back. What did he ask them to do? He says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from above. Look at what they were doing when they were tarrying. When they were tarrying, they were not taking pictures. They were not making memories. I would get that. What they were doing was verse 13. And when they were coming, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. These all what continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were all in one place, and they continued in prayer in one accord. Chapter 2 says, and the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were in one place in one accord. I hope you know, whilst they might have been expecting something to happen in Acts 2, they would have started from the place of prayer. Praise God for Ramo. Look at Acts 2:42. Bible says, and they continued steadfastly. This is after 3,000 souls were added. So it means the number of souls or thousands of souls that get added to your local church or get added to your ministry must not reduce your number, your time of devotion to prayer. What happened? 3,000 souls were added in verse 41. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and what? And in prayer. And in prayer. Look at chapter 4, verse 31. Look at chapter 9. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. So, in order to link to Ephesians 6, verse 18, Paul is saying, praying with all prayer and supplication, right, that we may have what boldness, right? Look. So, what was happening? Listen to what he said in verse 32, verse 29. Yeah, this is after they had dealt with them and all of those things. Verse 29 says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. So, is it today Christians started going through threatenings? No. Okay, what was the prayer point of those Christians going through threatening in the scriptures? Like I said, what's the multi-million dollar question today? How close is your prayer life to Paul? How close is your prayer life to Jesus? How close is your prayer life, right, to the disciples? So how close is your prayer life involves how close is your emotions being involved in prayer, inclusive of how close is your focus in prayer, including how your prayer points are formed, or what are your prayer points, right? So what was their concern? They were being threatened. Their lives were at stake. What was their prayer point? And grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, right? By stretching forth thy hands, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of a holy child, Jesus. And look at us in 1:1-3, go. So look at it though, look at it. Look at it. Praise God. Look at it. What were they going through? They were going through threatenings. They were going through threatenings. They were going through rigorous threatenings. So threat. They were going through serious threat. Threat, right? They were going through threats. Threat. Yeah? Anyone? All right? So they were going through threat. What was their prayer focus? So let me ask you, a logical, natural mind, what is the logical posture of a threatened man? It is what you call aggression, trying to respond, trying to give hurrah for hurrah, thunder for thunder, threat for threat. Altogether, right? That's the logical, natural response. Praise God forevermore. That's the natural response. Altogether. So, before we get there, do you think that the disciples in this threatened situation actually gave aura for aura? Yes, they did. Do you think they were violent as well? Yes, they were violent. Where did they demonstrate their violence? Go back to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking. That's a violent people in a violent place. No, that's a violent people with a violent attitude, with fullness of violence in a quiet place. So when there is strength for the believer, where should the violence be tailored towards? The place of prayer. What is the focus of the violence? Is it against them? Against their threateners or threateners or the enemies, or for the people who have been threatened? Yeah? It's for the people who have been threatened. Look at it again. One more time. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto their servants that all with all their boldness they may speak the word. Yeah. The next 2-3 days, we're going to look through what we call, you know, forgiveness of sins, how to walk in love, because of walking in love and everything. When you see your love walk struggling, you know, I remember someone was saying to me that time, Pastor, I'm better now. And what the person was describing as better is okay. Yeah. The person knows where they're coming from, but when you call it better, you're like, this is not really love walk. Yeah, Pastor, I'm better right now. You see, before, and you're wondering, where were you before? Yeah, but what I'm trying to say to you is that if you find out that you are getting better and walking in love, there's something you're doing right, good. But if you find out that the pace is slow, right, there's something more you need to do, right? You've not been violent enough in the place of prayer. Are we together? Yeah, we'll look at that a couple, maybe probably 2 or 3 days from now, right? Yeah. Yeah, look at it. What's the logical response to when threat comes to you? Yeah, how do you voluntarily respond and get? I was going to say something, but I'll keep it for leaders' meeting again, right? Yeah, how do you respond to threat? Yeah, you go and build your bazooka, you go and build your weaponries, you go and build your ward or the conclave of weapons and armories. Are we together? Yeah. Is that what the believer should do? Yes. Where should he do it? In the place of prayer. Yeah, because when you build your armory behind the scene in place of prayer with violence, responding to threat, what happens? What's the focus of their prayer there? It says, Lord, that we may have boldness to keep speaking your word. So your armory that you build in place of prayer, the weaponry you build in place of prayer, the gadgets and all the weapons and AI-infused ammunitions, right, that you buy, ammunitions that you buy and keep in your garage, on your in your cabin of gun, or on the ground where you have your basins of guns, of bullets, yeah? What should it do to you? It should spoil you a boldness to keep preaching the gospel. How do you store up your weapons? How do you get your weapons together? How do you all of that? From the place of prayer. From the place of prayer. In the place of prayer. That's why the big question is, how close? So when you start struggling with how close is your life, your love walk to the love walk of Jesus, right? A good question to ask is, how close is the prayer life to the prayer life of Jesus? Yeah, don't forget, when we look at Matthew 26:41, the concept of praying and going to pray, watch and pray for one another likes, was just before the practice of violence with Judas and his cohorts. All together, right? So what will happen in the place of prayer? You find stability. What's the emphasis of their prayer here? Acts 4. He says, "What? Look at it again one more time." You see, sometimes people don't like us saying these things. Right? Because the easiest thing, and sometimes you're just going to wonder. I remember I was talking to someone was asking me a question a while ago, right? And the person was asking, someone has a question, blah, blah, blah. And I was just, and I didn't do much. I was just pointing to the scriptures to pick the scriptures, explain the scriptures, and respond to the answer. Like, I literally stole the question. And the person kept saying, but pastor, let's face facts now. What kind of believer is that? Let's face reality now. Let me tell you something. See, you know that the human mind might have a different response to different scenarios when things happen. But how you know that your mind is so unrenewed is when that thing has happened to you and you choose to stay within the logic of your mind, not God's word, even when you see God's word. What I said is a lot to unbox. It's simple. Yeah, you see, in our world, one of the easiest ways people like to try to get people shy away from God's word is, you know, start saying, what will you do if this is that? What will you do if you are the person in this person's shoe? What will you do if you are the person in that person's shoe? I understand that let me tell you something. By default, to a very large extent, there's every tendency that the response of a solid believer in the midst of look at Peter, Piro. What was he doing in night? So is that someone wanted to attack his child? You know, and if he caught them, he removed the ear. Do you understand? Yeah? But let it be that it was not your intention, wasn't your plan. Obviously, Peter had a knife, so you don't even know what his intention was. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? But thank God, right? See, there's something you must know, that for Peter to have been captured the way he was captured, and eventually was killed the way he was killed, it means that the practice of holding knife in his pocket stopped at a point in his ministry. Did you hear that? So when you start seeing believers, you know, having a logical, you know, for every scenario, they're always prepared. They say, this is what the word says, but this is what I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to prepare. This is my logic. This is my, nah. Right? Yeah? So stay with the word. I remember I answered a question for someone a few years ago, right? I didn't know until years after that the person had took offense in my answer. What was the answer, right? The person asked the question and they said, what do you do with this person? And I said, this is what the Bible says. And I stayed there, right? But I didn't know the person took it years after, right? And was building a world of offense in their lives, right? Who loses? Not me, it's the person. Because all I did was to show you what the word is. I'm trying to say, I'm showing you what the word is saying now. So if you, now see, ideally, if you take me off camera and you ask me a question, who am I to you, your pastor? So what will I do? I will say, this is what the word said. This is what the word is saying. No, are we together? Right? Yeah. So if I stay within the confines of what the word is saying, are we together? Who is my allegiance really to? It should be to the word. It should be to the word. So were they threatening them? If you read through properly, you realize that something very interesting had happened. You know, from Acts chapter 3, chapter 4, you realize that Peter will be lifting up his voice and be having a lot of conversations and, you know, interactions, you know, with the, what do you call them, right? With the priest and all the captives of the temple and all the Sadducees and all of that, right? But my emphasis is here, right? So go to Ephesians 6 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, put all your hands in Acts 4. Ephesians 6 verse 18. You know, sometimes, as a minister, one of the things you just really do, right, is just to preach what God's word is, and whatever anyone thinks from it, really, yeah, you have no regulation about that. You can't really help people, right, who decide to actually be very carnal in reading scriptures, right? You can't do so much. Now, look at Ephesians. Let's just look at Ephesians 6. Where was Paul writing the letter of Ephesians? Yeah, that should just answer your question. Yet, what was his prayer in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18? Praying always without prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto without perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that what? For utterance to be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make the ministry of God, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. You see, when we read that prayer for us in God's palace, yeah, when and you people too that are leading that prayer, don't be drawn into verse 20 quickly. I'm not an ambassador in bonds. I'm not in prison. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he says, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. You know, I remember that is what was praying that time. I was saying, you know, going to pray for our pastor today, right? And Paul says, for me, the altar is giving, you know, for our pastor, who is an ambassador in bonds. my dear, right? That I may speak boldly as I ought to. Altogether. So Paul was going through threatening. Paul was going through violence. What was his response? Pray for me that I may have boldness. Go back to Acts 4. What was the response in Acts 4? Lord Jesus, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us that with all boldness, us, we may speak thy word, us, by stretching forth our hands, us, to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, so were the believers in Acts for violent believers? Yes. Where did they take their violence to? To the place of prayer. When they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. You know, I said it on Sunday. I was trying to explain it to somebody. The person was saying, it was canopy. What was it? He said it was canopy. That's why the place was shaking. Yeah. And the person wasn't sarcastic. Yeah, so it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaking, they were assembled together. Okay, it was tent, it was canopy, we understand, okay? Okay, have you been in a meeting where you pray in a way that somebody outside will look at that meeting, and the record that we had of that meeting is that those brothers and sisters were in that room praying, and the entire place was shaking? Are we together? Mind you, they didn't use a substandard material to build their house with the intention that when they get inside, so that when they get inside and start praying, to start shaking easily. No. Altogether, that's a normal building, normal house that they would have, that would house them normally. Altogether, he says, they were praying, they were sitting together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of the Lord God with what? Boldness. What's the result of that? The multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any man that aught of the things that he possessed was their own. So prayer in the prayer room, began to change the hearts of men, began to change the people in the room. Are we together? So where are we to be violent? Are we to use violence to respond to violence? Yes. Yes. Yeah. The biblical way to respond to violence as believers is to use violence to respond to violence. What kind of violence? What kind of violence should we use? It is violence in the place of prayer. Let me ask you a question. One simple question, right? For people who believe in reading prayer and they just say amen after 5 minutes of meditation. Yeah? So if you are in the midst of threats and they want to actually, they are threatening your life, they say, don't forget, yeah, it's in Acts where you see the narrative of the flock then, and they gave an instruction and said they should never be found preaching and talking about the name of Jesus. That's the same book of Acts. Yeah? So let me ask you a question. In that, the question I ask for you is simple. If you were in the midst of thick threats, right? Would that be all your prayer life? Would that be all your prayer life? Would that be all your prayer life looks like? Are we together? 5 minutes once a week, you sit down, right? And everybody, and the pastor comes and he says, right? And some of our disciples were taken to the courtyard and they were flogged and they flogged them so silly, and they gave our disciples an instruction. Yeah, yeah. That's Brother Kwasi on the laptop. He's typing the information, right? Yeah. So he types the information on the OpenLP. Right? Yeah. Some of our brothers were given to trepidation and were given to serious trepidation in their hearts because of the threat that was. So he's typing and they flogged some of our brothers and they chewed them out and they said, never preach the gospel again. Right? Yeah. And now it's time for us to just go into prayer to pray. right? And they typed everything. Everybody looked at the screen. And the pastor is now a pastor of Thanksgiving. Lord, sweet Jesus, Heavenly Father. You see, why am I trying to be dramatic? If you can be this dramatic, it will begin to make sense to you. And some things begin to make no sense to you. And the pastor just comes, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we give you thanks, for we know that the hearts of the kings and the hearts of the servants are in the hands of the Lord. For the heart will be... You see, it's funny. Yeah? You see, it's funny. And after he says, for the heart with the heart, just redoing redeeming works, redeeming words. For the heart with the hands with the heart. For the hand with the hand with the heart, Lord, and the heart of the king and the hand. And everybody just look out there. Even those they flog, just say, amen. You'll be tired of your church now. How would you get that? Now, if that is not what you will do, it simply means, right, that you are among the category of people who are struggling with the prayer life because of those three things we spoke about earlier. Number one, wrong understanding. Number two, wrong, motivation, right? And what's the third one we said again? Yeah, wrong motivation, wrong understanding, guilt and condemnation altogether. Yeah, you don't have an understanding of what God is doing on the earth that is making people struggle the way they are with the gospel. You know, I always tell you, the gospel is a declaration of war. Are we together? So because you know it's a declaration of war, your prayer life cannot be 3 minutes on a Sunday sitting down looking at the screen. And you know, very interestingly, some people, you know, have you heard people talk about that, you know, the reason why some of us in Nigeria, Africa pray the way we pray is because of the lack of economical infrastructure in our country. We speak English there. Lack of definition. I understand, right, that the truth, see, what you should tackle is the focus of people who pray in certain ways in an economically developing or advancing country. That's different. But to say it is only limited and linked to people in that economically advancing country, right, is to be very, 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 very interestingly unwise. Altogether, whatever part of the world you are in, the prayer question I have for you is, how close is your prayer life to the ministry of prayer life of Jesus? If that question becomes a burning desire to get an answer in your heart, you know what will happen? It will now begin to make you question, what is your prayer focus in the place of prayer? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? So it is because you don't have an understanding of what prayer should be meant for. That's why you think emotion should not be as involved in the place of prayer. If you go back to the drawing board and try to just remove some of those very AI-infused doctrine you got into your mind, yeah, those ChatGPT doctrine, just begin to loosen it a little and go back to the root. Why do we pray? What do we pray for? Oh, we are praying for the gospel to have a free course in the hearts of men. Wow, that is warfare. Yeah, you will now realize why you should pray the way you pray and pray rigorously. I would get that. And pray rigorously does not always mean pray in tongues. Pray rigorously just really means your mind, your heart is involved in it. You don't meditate. Imagine these people, they flogged them in Acts 4. And they went to their prayer camp. And they went to their tent. And they started meditating. they started meditating on the flogging. Yeah? And they would just sit among themselves. The first person would just say, like Naomi. Eh? Just the second person would just say, after the feeling is. Anyway, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. I hope this has instructed you. Yeah, I went all dramatic today so you can see the importance of prayer, why we pray, what our focus in prayer should be, and why we should have a discipline in the place of prayer. Hopefully this instructs your heart, and you don't forget 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, right? For profitable, for doctrine, for rectification, what's the second one? For doctrine, for reproof, then for what? Correction. Yeah, we've used this teaching to correct our slants, right, and the gaps that we've had in our understanding of prayer, right? You don't just pray on the days when they say, oh, we are praying for that job to fall through. We are praying for that job to pull through. We are praying for my boss to leave. Yep. There are fundamental reasons why we pray in scriptures. Number one, you must understand, it's for relationship. And because you have a relationship with God, it means you want his will to be done in the earth. Love you so much, Telly. I'll see you again tomorrow. Cheers.